جزاكم الله خيرا. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله our respected أمة أو نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, respected listeners, جزاكم الله خيرا. الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى has given us this opportunity to actually awaken again. This is the fadl and the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another opportunity to become better. Another opportunity to stay away from sin. Another opportunity to make right with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another opportunity to make right with anyone that we've harmed, Muslim or non-Muslim. Another opportunity to change our lives. Alhamdulillah, Allah gives us this. Because every day we live, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that if you awaken in the morning, don't be sure that you're going to be around in the evening. إِذَا أَصْبَحْتْ فَلَا تَنْتَظُرِ الْمَسَىٰ. And if Allah allowed you to make evening, to reach in the evening, وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتْ مَسَىٰ, from the word مَسَىٰ, وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتْ, don't be too sure that you're going to be around in the morning. So really, this is the favor and the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to awaken us, not from our own. So let us take this opportunity, alhamdulillah, to make a difference. In the surah that we read this morning, the surah that we read every day as Muslims, alhamdulillah, we are encouraged and exhorted to read, alhamdulillah, we are exhorted to read Yasin. And in this chapter, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta. We, verily we, this is the plural of glory, give life to the dead. وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا, and we write down what they have done. What they have, قَدَّمُوا, يُقَدَّمُوا is to invest and send forth. So what they have sent forth, we write it down. Send forth where? What they invest by Allah. What they give for Allah. What they do for Allah. وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ. And, subhanAllah, آثَارَهُمْ. آثَارَهُمْ means imprints, effects. What effect they leave on this earth is also written down. So maqaddamu means what they send for the afterlife, what they invest for the afterlife, what they give for the afterlife is all written down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mercy of Allah. Allah ta'ala writes it down. Everything we do is written down. Something else interesting about the meaning of this verse, maqaddamu, what they prioritize, what they make muqaddam. So Allah sees that also. That are we making Allah first in our life, or is our deen just by the way? No, we'll see when we get a chance. But everything else comes first. No, it shouldn't be that. Allah's deen, Allah's commands should be first in our life. مَقَدَّمُ. When they make Allah مُقَدَّم, مُقَدَّم كَرْنَا. وَآثَارُهُمْ also means the impact they leave on this earth, the legacy they leave. Make a difference. Make a difference. SubhanAllah, there's an amazing dua of the Sahabi Hazrat Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And we learn from his dua after he was injured in the expedition of Khandaq. He was defending Islam, and from above the trench, one of the mushrikeen shot at him, and the arrow struck him on his arm near the elbow, but on the other side of the elbow, so the inside of the arm, and it hit his vein. Called the akhul in Arabic. This vein translates as the medial arm vein, a very crucial vein in the body of a person. And these are one of the veins, obviously, connected to a very crucial part, and the blood doesn't stop when striking that vein. Anyway, he was rushed just in the sehen of Masjid Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was treated. And a sahabiya who knew this, Hazrat Rufaida, radiallahu anhu, was summoned to actually to aid and assist in this because she had expertise in this regard. But then the Sahabi's dua was quite ajeeb. Oh Allah, I would love martyrdom. But if these people, meaning the Banu Qurayza, are going to attack my Nabi again, Ya Allah, first resolve that. Keep me to serve your deen. And if they're not going to hurt my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam again, then I would love martyrdom. From this dua we learn, Sahaba didn't just want to die for Allah. They wanted to do for Allah and then go for Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can we do for Allah? What have we done for Allah? That should be Allahu. Imagine that Sahabi who was about to be thrown in that boiling hot oil. The oil was heated to excruciating levels of heat. It was sizzling. He sees two of his other Muslim brothers who were from the Tabi'een tossed in there. And he saw them fry and die. And he is now escorted and he started to tear. And this was after they tried to exhort him to leave Islam and accept Christianity for an exorbitant amount of money and position and status in the Roman Empire. He was offered half the kingdom to forsake deen. And you know what he said? Never. Even if you were to give me, oh, Roman Emperor, if you were to give me your entire kingdom, and not only your kingdom, the entire Arabia, for me to forsake my deen, I would never do it. And the words he used, tarfata aynin, meaning never. And it also can mean for the short span to leave Islam and then come back. Sometimes a person, Allah forgive us, I'll practice deen afterwards. Obviously, it wouldn't be leaving deen. No, Sahaba's worry is, what if we die in that state? Because we don't know when Malakul Maut will visit us. Allah give us all tawfiq to spend our life correctly, that we can die correctly. Imagine now, as he's tearing, the soldier then notices or notifies the king that this man has now succumbed and he's softening. So the king summons him back before his court and he asks him, what is your decision now? He says, never, it's as it was. I'll never forsake my deen. He says, but why then are you emotional? He says, my reason to my emotion is that to give my life for Allah is such a great bounty. But to give one life for my Allah is too little. I wanted equivalent to the hair strands on my body. So many lives to give all for my Allah. كُنْتُ أَتَمَنَّى أَنْ يَكُونَ لِي بِعَدَدِ شَعْرِ بَدَنِي أَنْفُسٌ تُلْقَى كُلُّهَا فِي هَذَا الْقِدْرِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Imagine Sahaba's passion. They worry, they love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at his foresight too. He's had such an impression and such an impact, such an indelible mark on the emperor that he says, you know, I have not seen people like you. How can I kill a man like you? Just give me one kiss on my forehead, I'll release you. So the Sahabi says, just me, what's the use? What about all my other brothers in your dungeon? He says, وَأَنْ جَمِيعِ أُسَارَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I'll release everyone. He says, he thinks about it. See, we have to deliberate before we make decisions in life. He thinks, this one person, yes, he defies Allah and so forth, but how many Muslims I can release if I give him one kiss? What harm will it cause? He gives him one kiss on his forehead, he gets all the Muslims released, and they return to Medina Munawwarah. Kar Guzari, the report back, is presented to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. This was during his khilafah. Hazrat Umar was elated. He gets up and he announces, he says, you know, I implore every Muslim to kiss the forehead of Abdullah bin Hudhafa. See how he rescued everyone. حَقٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يُقَبِّلَ رَأْسَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ حُذَافَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَأَنَا أَبْدَأُ بِذَلِكَ. Hazrat Umar says, I will start. And he kisses him on the forehead. SubhanAllah. Look at Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. Look at the foresight. Look at the vision. So Allah give us all tawfiq to leave a legacy. And SubhanAllah, if we motivate others to bring sunnah alive, through us, others bring sunnah. What a beautiful thing is sunnah. We just read Salatul Fajr, and Allah give us all tawfiq, tahajjud and a'mal and dhuhr and asr and all our salats. Because as we live our life, that's how we're going to die. كَمَا تَحْيُونَ تَمُوتُونَ. As you live your life, that's how you'll die. And as you die, that's how we will be resurrected. So every day we should actually plan to do what makes Allah happy, because that's how we're going to go. That let's leave a legacy. Man sanna sunnatan hasana, the one who brings alive a beautiful sunnah in people. And others now take it on. This beautiful prophetic practice he exhorted people to do. Allah will give him the reward and all those who learned that sunnah and emulate him. So that's the good part. Allah give us all tawfiq. But the one who starts evil practices and others see him and say, oh, I should also do it like that. Those who follow him in that, he will get sin for his practice. They will also get sin for their wrong, but he will also get the sin because they learnt it from him. So what legacy are we going to leave on this earth? How beautiful is to bring alive good in people. There's a beautiful hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the goodness is treasures. And those treasures have keys. Blessings are for those bando of Allah. Allah makes them keys to good wherever they go. Mafatih lil khair, maghaliq lil shar. And wherever they go, they lock evil. But destruction, wa wailul li'abdin. Destruction is the lot for those who, wherever they go, they instigate evil, entice evil, and cause fitna. Mafatih lil shar. Good is taking place, hinder it. Good is taking place, Allah forgive us. Sometimes we get irritated. Someone else is doing good, we get irritated. Subhanallah. And now we can't bear it. And now we try and stop it. Allah save us. So wherever there's good taking place, they lock it. Wherever there's shar, he sees opportunity of shar, now he instigates it and entices others to do it. No. Allah save us. That should not be our state. But wherever we go, motivate good in Muslim and in non-Muslims. Alhamdulillah. When the brothers sit for Mashura in the corner of the masjid, sit. What is that figure? How can humanity come alive? How can deen come alive? How can amal come alive? Who is ill? We can visit him. Beautiful discussions take place there. The discussion is, how can Muslims become better people? We can win and draw the help of Allah Ta'ala. And then also, what about effort? And our non-Muslim brothers in humanity, and my sister, who's going to invite the sisters in humanity? My brother, you invite the brothers. My sister, you invite the sisters. People are thirsty. Just alhamdulillah, in Westcliff, our brother was telling us that there's a synagogue that has just been transformed into a masjid. And then he was saying that the names of all the captives, the Israeli captives, were written there. So he asked them, why you got the names? You know, because we pray for them all the time. So he said, I can assure you, our brothers know how to treat captives. Not like how y'all do so. How y'all doing to ours? Subhanallah. And then, as we were there, and then when we were returning, we stopped at a few garages, and we started giving da'wah. And the way people want to know about deen, travelers, people passing. There was an Afrikaner guy we got speaking to, and we invited him, told him about Islam, we told him what we believe about Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, and he was quite intrigued. And the literature we had, he shared some, he took. Then there was another guy, a local brother, and we spoke to him, but he's telling me, like, what you're giving me this for? So I'm telling him, see, you read, now you make the choice thereafter. But remember, the creator who made us is one, and he has no partner whatsoever. Almighty God, one God. So he said, he took it. So he said, if I give you, you'll take. So I had to tell him, yes. Because now if you tell him no, then he'll never read what you're giving him. So I said, no, I don't mind. You can give me, you can share with me. But I would like you to have an open mind. I can't force you. Almighty God, meaning Allah, has gifted every human being the gift of intellect, the gift of choice. So you decide. Anyway, he takes it. And then he walks back. He says, that other man there, the Mlungu guy, you gave him. I say, of course. And he looks there, and subhanallah, the Afrikaner guy was waiting in the corner for his coffee, and he was already reading it. So this guy felt ashamed. And he took the literature, and he walked away. The point is, sometimes you expect a different reaction. But Allah Ta'ala shows you. Just approach humanity, and how Allah Ta'ala, opens the hearts. There was a friend of mine came to visit us from Darul Muzakariya, Brother Mustafa. So on Friday, Saturday, we did some mulaqat. I took him to meet some Congolese friends of ours here in Newcastle. And we invited them over. We said, come, we're going to make Isha, and then we'll have a meal together. Hey, they came. We had such an interesting discussion. We showed them how we pray in the masjid. Hey, the one guy says, you know, my grandfather was a Muslim. as time went on. See, the Christians make so much of effort. That's why I ask you, ask any person on the road, who's Jesus? Obviously, his belief will be incorrect, but he'll tell you something that the Christians taught him about Jesus. But ask them about our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most of them don't even know. And you and I are not even concerned that who was supposed to tell them? Who was supposed to educate them? Who was supposed to show them? Actually, so sad is the information some of them have is so disrespectful and so untrue about our beloved Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the benefactor of humanity, who is the greatest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this, we showed them the life of Isa alayhi salam from the Quran, and we told them, and they asked certain questions that were biblical. Then we explained to them how the Quran came to defend, and that's similar to our discussion that we're having on certain mornings, alhamdulillah, how the Quran al-Kareem, came to defend the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. What the Bible mentions about these Anbiya alayhim as-salam, and how and why it has been changed. What was the agenda of the forces of Batil and of the devil by falsely alleging such noble people of such hideous crimes? And what happens to the mindset of people when they read such information? So the devil's plan was to actually entice people to perpetrate the same, convincing them that prophets, messengers of Almighty God, perpetrated it, so then it would be fine. And they end up perpetrating the same. And the other way the devil caught people was to actually entice them that, you see, even Christ, he came for your sins. He came to get you forgiven. That's why he sacrificed his blood. That's why there's no regret and remorse upon you. You are forgiven and you're going to heaven most definitely. So these are ways where the devil caught these people. Some of them have good intentions, but they don't know. They just have to be educated. That you see, these are messengers of Almighty God. That's why the Quran you have to read, then you will understand how mighty are these people. How mighty is Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. How amazing is Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. And Hazrat Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam. And they don't know ever about Hazrat Salih and Hazrat Hud alayhi salam. But their books mention these other Anbiya alayhi salam that we mentioned to you. But they don't leave a Nabi except that they falsely accuse him of some hideous crime. Ya Allah. That's why the Quran defends these mighty people of Almighty God. And then they want to worship Christ. And interestingly, when we tell them, you see, when the teacher asked Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Christ, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, in Matthew chapter 16, that good master. And when he asked this question to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam said, but why do you call me good? Only the one Almighty is good. And he explained to them, see, you are saying that he is God. But if he is God, how can he say, I'm not good? You and I, someone praise us, we can tell them, and rightfully so, brother, you're praising the wrong person. Because, you know, the Almighty has just concealed us. We are nothing of that sort. Because rightfully so, we are nothing at all. But if someone is God, how can he even claim that he's not even good? Yeah, clearly, Hazrat Isa is telling them, I am not even good. Why are you praising me? Praise the Almighty. So sadly, he told them clearly, and this was humility, because he's Allah's special banda. He's a special man of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I'm not good. And today they make him God. He tells them, I don't know the hour. And they make it such that there's nothing he knows not. Yeah. So my brother used to say this. That he says, I'm no good. And they call him God. He said, I don't know the hour. And they make it like there's nothing he doesn't know. And we explain to them that. Oh, they get interested. Quite a few of them. And then we told them also the incident of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran. And subhanallah, the one asked for a French translation of the Quran. and I was reading from the English translation. So we read from verses, and I would love you, respected Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you also read the translation. So you're ready. You one up, mashallah. You have the opportunity and you have the intention that, Ya Allah, I want to teach somebody and somebody about you. Ya Allah, have that intention. After Allah says that we write down the legacy they leave behind, wa atharahum. And another meaning of athar is your footprint. And the next incident in the Quran is our Allah telling our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to narrate to the people the incident of the people of the town. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ. And where that man, this chapter highlights, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. So this, how this man walked, rushing, came rushing, يَسْعَى, he came rushing with a great concern. What was his concern? That these are anbiya. They want nothing from you in return. They've come with goodness. Don't forsake them. Don't shun them. So here, when we read to them, and this one man was following in the French translation. We had students, mashallah, to help us. SubhanAllah. They're so eager to learn. The students of Deen, alhamdulillah. Then the other was following in the English translation. And we read the incident of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam from Surah Ali Imran. You can tell them, you see, Imran was the grandfather of Isa alayhi salam. And then we also read from the incident of Isa alayhi salam in Surah Maryam, chapter 19. And then also the Surah Ma'idah, the chapter concerning the supper, the meal, the tablecloth. Allah sent for Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and his Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. Anyway, when we came to a few points in the chapter, especially the part where Hazrat Isa, as a beautiful child, he was just born a few hours prior, and they started accusing his mother. And subhanallah, what a miracle Allah made happen. Subhanallah, that his mother then points to him, and now he speaks to the community. And the reaction of those brothers was just phenomenal. But who is speaking here? This is Christ. Isa alayhi salam is speaking here. I tell you, that had such an impact on them, a profound impact on them. And then I told them what Allah's father, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, is mentioned in the Quran 25 times, like Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. So Allah is telling us, there's a similitude between them. Why do you worship Isa? Because he didn't have a father. Hazrat Adam didn't even have a mother. So he's mentioned 25 times as Isa. And he's also mentioned as Al-Masih, and he's also mentioned as Ibn Maryam. If you put all the titles together, 59 times in the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. We'll culminate with this point, that every one of us have to aspire, that every day Allah gives us could be our last, and every day we want to leave a legacy. Impact somebody's life positively. Make a difference. Inspire someone. Uplift someone. Give someone hope. And share the truth with Muslim and non-Muslim. And let's not hide this truth. Let's not mise with it. Let's not be selfish and hoard it for ourselves. Because that is also a form of injustice. That it is the right of humanity and we're keeping it for ourselves. Jazakumullahu khayran wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya